The homework again, please analyze the following. We will take two lectures written in the in Acts, and we will go through the lecture given by St. Peter, the first one, and the other one given by St. Paul to non-believers. The first one we're giving to the Jews. The second one was given to the atheists or pagans. So you will go through this lecture to see how preaching lectures could be given. At least there are some guiding lines. You can follow the guiding lines. The first of all, the starting point. How St. Peter starts his lecture. How St. Paul starts his idea. The second point, climbing the ladder. I mean how he goes step by step to present his word of salvation or his preaching. So the stepping forward, how he climbed the ladder with the people listening to him. The third line, Christ-centered message. What was the part of Christ in his lecture? How could he present Christ and salvation in this preaching lecture? Okay? The last one, the final request. What did he ask people to do after listening to such sermon? You understand? The part of Acts 2, the second chapter of Acts, from the verse 14 to the last verse, to 40, and the word of St. Paul in Acts 17, from verse 22nd to 34th. Okay? Is that clear, ya jama'a?
Yeah.
Do you have any question concerning the homework? Your homework, by the way, are very good. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, only God. Amen. This lecture, titled The Roman Road. You know, they were saying that all ways go to Rome, leads to Rome. So, the Roman Road, we mean by this, St. Paul, one of his best messages or epistles that presents the preaching ideas in his letter to the Romans. This is maybe considered the ideal preaching message to non-believers. That's why we will present here, it's like a Bible study now for like 40 minutes. We will take the whole Roman story in the Roman letter. It's 16 chapters. You can read it anytime. But the steps he went through from an idea to the other, he ended with a very good clarification of why our Lord Jesus Christ came to us and what is salvation means, what is reconciliation means, what do we need to do now for living a Christian life. So he put everything we need in the preaching process in this letter. That's why the preachers used the name the Roman Road. I got it from one of the books of preaching. The Roman Road. You can go this road while preaching. You understand? Before presenting this Roman Road, few words on St. Paul. St. Paul always considered the best preacher, at least of the first century. He is the man of preaching. He is the perfect man of preaching after our Lord Jesus Christ. He saw Christ in Acts 9. This was the start of his relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ in the chapter the 9 of Acts. You know the story. And he went to the desert. He had like 3 years in the desert praying and meditating and reading the old books again to explore where Jesus were written on the old books. He started his first missionary journey. He, by the way, spent most of his years in Antioch. This was his center of preaching, Antakya, from which he started the missionary journeys, or his missionary. He started, first of all, to Asia, and on the second one, he shifted to Europe. So he covered both Asia and Europe, known at that time. And thus this was guided by the Holy Spirit. If you read Acts, you will know this. St. Paul, in his second missionary journey, he started to write letters. The epistles written in the New Testament were originally written in his second missionary journey. The first two letters were given to Thessalonica. On his third journey, he went, like, by the way, three major journeys. We believe the journey was like from 2 years to 5 years. So when we say journey, it's like not Sudan, Zbuah, Kalam Gadia. Third missionary journey was to, he wrote at that time the letters to Roman and Corinthian, the first and second Corinthian letter, and the one for Galatians. After that, he was imprisoned in Jerusalem and was taken to Rome to be presented before Nerón at that time. In his prison in Rome, he wrote another four letters, the Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, and Colossians. Okay? So we started by two letters, the early one, Thessaloniki al-Ula wal-Thaniya, the big ones, the four big ones, Roma, Corinthians al-Ula wal-Thaniya, and Galatia. Then another four ones, small ones, in the prison, Ephesus, Philippi, Philemon, and Galatia. And when he went out of the prison, he wrote the Hebrews to Jews. So it's not related to the country, to the people of Hebrews. And the first letter to Timothy and the letter to Titus. And in his last imprisonment, when he was imprisoned again in Rome before his martyrdom, he wrote the second letter to Timothy. This was his last letter, in which he said that I am going home, I am going to God. جاهدت الجهاد الحسن أكملت السعي أخيرا وضع عليك للبر. Then he was martyred in Rome, they believe in 68 of the first century. Now with the Roman road. Concerning the Roman road, first of all, it's important to know why St. Paul wrote any letter. This is, we consider, like the major key of any letter of St. Paul. In order to understand any of his epistles, you should hold this key. Why? The question of why. Why he wrote this before reading the Bible? Actually, at that time, there was the problem of Judaism. Those who believed in Christianity originally were Jews. Some of them were Pharisees, and they did not accept being as equal as those who came from the pagans' background. So they developed an idea that anyone want to be Christian, he should be Jew first. He should be circumcised. And this bad idea was fought by St. Paul. He offended this idea and defended the Christian faith, but this was not the end. So he went to Jerusalem, he met the whole disciples, and they stated that this is not accepted. We believe in what St. Paul believes. We believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior. We need not to be circumcised anymore. We need only to believe in Him, to be baptized, to live a holy life. That was the agreement of St. Paul with the disciples. But although they agreed on this, those who were preaching their bad ideas went to Rome, and they could convince many of the Romans, the Christian Romans, with the wrong idea, that you should go back to Judaism before coming to Christianity. So that's why he had to write this letter, because he couldn't go to Rome at that time. So he wrote his letter to offend this idea. That means the title of Romans, we can put like the title, Christ is the Savior. This is the major title of of the letter of Romans. You understand? Or what is salvation means. This is the story of the letter of Romans. Which means, I am responsible for my salvation, or Christ responsible for my salvation? Because this was the debate. I am means I can save myself by so and so, by doing the law of Moses, by being circumcised, by following the old rules of the Old Testament. Okay, so I am responsible. Christianity says no, Christ is responsible, but just follow him. You understand the idea? So this is the main theme of the letter of Romans. Okay, we will go through the chapters of St. Paul, so please concentrate, because in each chapter I will read just few sentences to express the idea, and the idea present the next idea. So it's like a ladder, you go through, you go upwards with an idea after an idea. In his first two chapters, the first and second chapters of Romans, he was trying to say that none is good, nobody is righteousness. Everybody needs salvation. Whether Jews or pagans, everybody is sinful. Everybody needs Christ. So this was the start. And it's a good start with anybody to present the problem. Before presenting the solution, you should present the problem first. What is the problem? The problem is nobody is good. Everybody is dying. All people are living a sinful life. So this was the problem. He was saying, for the wrath means anger, of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Don't write the sentences, okay? This is the sentence. And unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible are clearly seen, being understood by the things that made. He means that those who did not believe in God as a creator had no excuse, because the creation itself, the world around, point at the creator. So he's saying they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. The manifestation means the conscience and the world around. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible character are clearly seen by the visible, you understand? Being understood by the things He made, He created. You got the idea? He means that although we do not see God, but we could see what He made. So we can explore Him, we can touch Him, we can know Him by His creatures, through His creation, the beauty He made. So He gave no excuse to those who refused faith, although there were no prophets at that time, because they can know God through the creation. That's what we had said before. We complete the part. Even His eternal power and Godhead means His nature as God, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. These were gods of pagans at that time, understand? So he were saying that although the truth was rather clear, they ignored the truth and they made their gods on image corruptible. They made God as man, as birds, as moon, as whatever. Okay? That's what the first chapter. Another part, you therefore, this is from chapter 2, who teach another. In chapter 2, he was concentrating on the Jews, because he offended pagans in his first chapter as non-believers, but those who believe as Jews, he also was against them, saying that you, as you, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. He was now saying these words against the Jews. Although they had the book of the Old Testament, they know the law of Moses, but they could not follow the rules. So, as if they ignored God because they couldn't go after him. Although they had some truth, they couldn't live the truth. You understand? So he was trying to equalize pagans and Jews as non-believers, as unrighteousness. You understand? Both are wrong. So the third chapter, he got the idea of now nobody is righteous. Okay? This is the first cornerstone is Roman road. Nobody is good. What then? Are we better? Are we better back to the pagans? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that for pagans, that they are all under sin. As it is written in the Old Testament. So this truth was even clear in the Old Testament, that nobody is good. It's written, there is none righteous. No, not one. This is the inspired word of God. No one. There is none who understands. Understand who is God, you understand? There is none who seeks after God. Nobody could follow God as planned. They have all turned aside, all. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Look how he insists on this, because this is the start of the problem. You start by saying, me and you are not good. Nobody is good. Nobody can save himself. Nobody can change himself. We all live in darkness. We need somebody to save, to help. You understand the idea? This is the start of the Roman road. With the third chapter, he put the solution. Redemption is the solution. This is the idea of the third chapter. With the end of the third chapter, he was saying, but now, the righteousness of God, the only righteous one is God, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, away from the orders of Moses. Now, revelation of a new way for righteousness. Righteousness is not related now to how much you follow the rules. Nobody can do everything needed. There is a new way for righteousness, which is the righteousness of God, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now he put the solution, by faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. The solution is just believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior to all, Jews and pagans, and all on all who believe. For there is no difference. No difference, he means that everybody was bad. None is righteous. So no big difference between being Jews or pagans. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified, justification, tabrir, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is the whole idea. The solution, you give the new idea, the new life. Start with this. The good news is this, that we have a better way, a simpler way, an easy way to be saved for salvation through the belief in Jesus Christ. For all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. It means simply that He covered all sins done before Him to those who believed in Him by His blood. He could pay the debt of all people who followed Him. He can cover all our sins with His cross and blood. You understand? So this is the solution. This is the good news. This is the part you want to present to anybody who do not believe, that all your bad deeds before, Christ can cover. Christ can pay you. Pay them. So, the fourth chapter, it comes the problem of Saint Abraham, Father Abraham. Why God choose such a man before? This is a problem mainly with the Jews, but still there is always a problem with, does God choose somebody and leave others? Because God choose Abraham and his offsprings, his people coming from him. So why He choose him? This is a major problem, okay? A good idea you should manifest. As it is written, I have made you father of many nations. By the way, the word Abraham, he was named first Abram, but he changed his name into Abraham. Abraham means father not of the Jews, father of everybody. So even with the choice of Abraham, it meant that God were choosing this kind of character, not the name. Those who can follow such a character, such a man, will be Abraham's sons, will be covered by God's blood and redemption. You understand? So it's not those who came out of Abraham physically. The idea is that those who can follow the way of Abraham, Abraham believed in God, simply. Abraham was a character who believes in God. That's his main character. So that's why God was always pointing at Abraham as a model, because he simply believed in God. So those who will believe in God, our Lord Jesus Christ, coming to save us, will follow the steps of Abraham and will be chosen. Okay? So this is the fourth chapter. You are chosen if you believe. Simply. You are not chosen if you refuse to believe. Okay? So you have the chance to be chosen. Not God choose and leave others. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Now he is presenting the idea of Abraham belief. How could Abuna Abraham believed in God, although all everything around were saying something else? He was an old man, his wife is very old, they could never get any children, but he still believed. He was fixed in his belief. So God gave him Isaac and the children after. So this is the model, Saint Abuna Abulus, Saint Paul, presenting Abraham as a model for belief, because the solution for our misery is a belief, it's faith. Abraham is a model for faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. St. Paul was explaining the idea. Although he was 100 years old, he did not look at his body, weak one, also did not look at Sarah's body, she was 90 years old. He considered only the promise of God. That's the kind of belief St. Paul preaching. If you believe in Christ in this way, you will be son of Abraham, you are chosen by God. Again, the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is, you know, the sentence written in the Old Testament. It was accounted to him for righteousness. His belief was accounted to him for righteousness. آمن إبراهيم فحسب له بر. دي القاعدة. Okay? ده اللي عاوز يقوله بولس. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You understand the idea? So Abraham was given some kind of faith. Just believe in God, he will give you Ishaq. Now, the order of faith to us, just believe in Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior who died for your sins, who is raised out of the dead, who is promising you the eternal life. The same order, parallel one. So if you follow the order, if you believe in God, you are following the steps of Abraham. The fifth chapter. These were called the Roman road. Roman road, we are going step by step. The first step, the problem of humanity. Okay? Sin and death. Second one, redemption and salvation. Third step, how could be chosen? Abraham was chosen by faith. Okay? The fifth, what to do if you believe? Okay? So the fifth chapter, Adam is the real father. This is the idea of the chapter. Now Jews were related always to Abraham. Actually, Jews and pagans and us, we all related to Adam. So Adam is the key person. Adam brought sin into the world. So there should be another Adam who gets sin out of the world. Adam was the start of death. There should be another Adam to be the start of life. You understand? This is the idea of the fifth chapter. You are now putting Adam in front of our Lord Jesus Christ as the second or the new Adam. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense came to all men, resulting in condemnation, deinuna, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For he is repeating the idea in many sentences, just to put it clear. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, Christ, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Even the law of Moses entered the world so the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Simply, he put the problem of Adam and the solution of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fifth chapter and the fifth step. The first was the problem. The second was the solution, redemption. The third was Abraham as the mother, or the chosen. The fourth one is Adam and Jesus. Sixth chapter and the five steps. Fifth step. On the sixth chapter, he will tell us what to do if you believe. After he puts Our Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior, as the only way for righteousness, He now stands for baptism. After being, after belief, you should baptize. So, or do you know, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, remember He was speaking to believers, so they were baptized. That's why he was not explaining much. He just was reminding them of what they had before. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in new life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. As far as we died with Him by baptism, we should be raised with Him also through baptism. So we got the power of the new life, of the eternal life, by baptism. And this is the sacrament. So if you believe in God's incarnation and death and resurrection, you will take all this power through the sacrament of baptism. You got the idea? That's why baptism is very important. And it's a sacrament. No salvation with no baptism. Because it takes the power, the whole power of the eternal life, and it's put into your heart. Again, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been... That our old man, the old nature, he means old man, Adam in you. The Adam is presenting in you, in your old nature, the nature of sin. It's inside you. You got another nature now, the nature of Christ, the power of Christ. Now it's in you by baptism. So you got both now. You got Adam and Jesus Christ. So now you switch from Adam's life to Jesus Christ. You understand the idea? So it's all yours now. Either you live as Adam life, sinning, or you are trying to live as Christ lived, as saint. You understand the idea? Our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Okay, now with the seventh chapter. Again, I will repeat. The problem in the first and second chapter, the problem of humanity. Next, the solution of our Lord Jesus Christ the Savior. The third point, who is chosen? It's yours, to be chosen by faith. The fourth point, Adam was the real key of sin and death. So there should be another Adam, the key of life and righteousness. If you believe in this key, if you believe in our Lord as Savior, you go into baptism to get the power inside your heart, inside your life. So you are now not new. You are now man of God. You are not anymore son of Adam, you are son of God by baptism. The seventh chapter, the new life and the warfare. With the new life, this does not mean that you are really saint from all aspects. You still have the conflict between evil and good, bad and good inside yourself. You still feel the Adam's need inside yourself. You still fight against the bad things. But now with the power of the new life, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the seventh chapter, he is saying, what's next? What's after baptism? How would we live after? We are living a sacred life covered with the power of God inside us as far as we are trying to be like Christ, to be Christ-like. You understand the idea? I hope you do. For I know that in me, Now Saint Paul is saying about himself just to put himself as a model of the new man. So the new life does not mean you will never sin again. No, you will sin, but the fight is there. So I know that in me, Saint Paul, after baptism, okay, in my flesh nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, I desire not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I desire not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You understand the idea? He feels the conflict. He is still sinning, but this sin is not his will anymore. He sins, but he is against sin. He wished to live a sacred life, but he couldn't. Now, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members. So we have both laws inside. We have the law of the old nature and the law of the good nature of Christ inside us. So, and the two laws are fighting against each other, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This kind of conflict will end with death. I mean, this will finish by dying, because the physical body, which is the part of the sinful law, will be ended and now will go with only the free will of God or the spiritual part. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. I need to follow him. I wish to go the righteous way, but still I can't do it all freely, but with the flesh of the law of sin. The 8th chapter. Holy life with the Holy Spirit. After he explained that the conflict is there, and the new nature will fight the old one, and this related to your free will now, he is saying that enjoy your better life, enjoy your new life by sticking to God. This is the idea of the 8th chapter. Just stand strong in Christ so you can win the game. You can live spiritually. You can win against your physical sins. Therefore, brother, we are debtors. Debtors, yani madyunin, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. This is the ideal picture of the sons of God. Those who are led by the Holy Spirit. Those are the real sons of God. We are trying all to live this life. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Abba, the same Abba of the Fallahin. Abba, that's daddy. In the new international books now, daddy. They write it daddy, okay? Abba, Abba, يعني يا بابا. بنقول له يا بابا. The Spirit himself bears. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs, waratha. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now the story finished. He put everything in the 8 chapters. There are other chapters I will tell you what about. But again, to review. The first, he put the problem of sin and death. None is righteous. Then he go into the solution through the Savior God, Jesus Christ, by redemption. Then he put the idea of Abraham, the model, the chosen one. Then the idea of Adam and Christ, the old nature and the new nature. Then the idea of baptism, how to switch from the old life to the new life. then the idea of conflict, warfare, يعني حرب روحية. The conflict inside you. The last one is you win the game when you stand still, fixed, strong by the Spirit. You are spiritual, not physical anymore. Okay? So he put now the whole story. So what's next? It comes a problem with the Jews. The chosen people. You understand? So who was were dealing with the chosen people. The idea of why were the Jews chosen first? This is the question always asked at that time. Okay? I don't want to go through this idea much, but I will read a few sentences. This covers four chapters. So they are not very important in our preaching program. You understand? He was convincing the Jews that even if you were chosen at what time, at some time, you are not anymore if you do not believe. The chosen people are those who believe, full stop. And after they believe, they have to go the whole way of baptism and sacred or holy life after. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Blindness, the people of Israel were blind, so they couldn't catch the truth. They couldn't see the truth of God as Savior. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. God prepared this. God planned for this. He let the Jews refuse him for some time. So the Gentiles, the pagans, the non-believers, accept the faith. And lastly, the Jews will accept it too. And so all Israel will be saved, as it's written, the deliverer, Savior, will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So God cared for his people, old one, but they will not accept him at that time. They may accept him lastly. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Jews now became enemies against the New Testament, the new life, the new Christianity, you understand? But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. So do not ignore the old truth that these were the beloved ones because of their forefathers, Abraham, Ishaq, Ya'ub. So they are still beloved, but if they were not, they did not believe, they are not chosen. The other four chapters, from 12 to 15, this is the request. We always say that after delivering the message, after presenting the problem and the solution and the message of Christ, salvation, you should end with the requirements, with request. What to do, how to live. Okay? So he put this one in four chapters from 12 to 15. You understand? This is the Roman route to present whole Christianity simply. This is the Christian life or the Christian behavior. Let love be without hypocrisy. Some sentences, but they are four chapters, okay? Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preferences to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You got it? These are the commandments. It looks like the same like the Sermon on the Mountain of our Lord Jesus Christ. His kind of orders and advices how to live the new life. How to follow Christ's steps. So he did not utter the word of commandment in the 11 chapters before. He just started advising the new life behavior from the 12th. And this is the Roman road, and you should go this road. Do not ask people to start living a new life without accepting the new dogmas, the new ideas, without accepting the new Savior. If they knew what God made for them, they will follow his steps after. So he put his ideas in 11 chapters and the behavior after in 4 chapters. Okay, the last one was something like selamet, like some, yes, regards to many people. Again, I'm revising all what I said. The Roman road from 1 to 11, what to believe. From 12 to 15, how to live. Okay, again, from 1 to 11, what to believe. How to believe. From 12 after, what to live, how to live. Okay, again, in another way, problem first, problem like sin, death, corruption. No human solution, this is important. After which, incarnation, redemption, salvation, Christ's message, okay? After which, the new life, start by baptism, by the sacrament, and then the holy life after. And lastly, the mission, how to live, how to present your new life, how to gain others to our Lord Jesus Christ. لإلهنا كل مجد وكرامة الأبد.